Let's pray. Father, we turn our eyes to you, Lord. We are more aware this week, in this moment, of our fragility than we were 2 weeks ago. The fragility of our economy, the fragility of our jobs, the fragility of our world, of our health care systems. Lord, and so we turn our eyes to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need you. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We want your kingdom to come, and we want your will to be done. And so, Lord, right now we pray for grace. We pray for the coronavirus to be gone and eradicated in your name. God, we pray for grace for leaders and government and parliaments and congresses and presidents and prime ministers, Lord, that you would pour out wisdom on leaders of countries, of leaders of businesses, of leaders of states and cities, Lord, that you would give your supernatural grace. Lord, we pray for the healthcare workers who are working tirelessly now. Lord, we pray for wisdom for doctors and nurses and others. God, we pray for an awakening spiritually in our land. Lord, that the fragility would also soften hearts to needs for the gospel. Lord, that your gospel of grace would work powerfully, Lord, in regenerating and saving the lost. Even now, Lord, that you seek and save the lost. Do that, Jesus. Lord, and awaken believers. Lord, where we've been apathetic, forgive us. Lord, and let us be awakened to your glory. Let us be awakened to the mission you have for us in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our families. God, to speak your gospel truth with hope, with boldness, with eagerness. Now we pray for our church family. Pray for the elderly today. Lord, guard and protect them. God, we thank you for Leroy Bishop. We thank you for Linda Wilson. We thank you for Bill and Nancy Gunther. We thank you for Miss Kate. Lord, guard and protect those who are older among us. God, we thank you that Allie Wright does not have coronavirus. God, we pray the test would come back clear for Jake, or that he wouldn't either. Heal them as they are experiencing sickness. God, heal others as well. God, who have been up and down with sickness, Lord, protect and guard. Lord, I thank you in the midst of sorrow, we can rejoice. Lord, the wedding of Chris and Elliot Bales yesterday, Elliot Huxford getting married. Lord, the picture of Christ in the church. Lord, the opportunities to love each other through communications of texts and calls and Zoom calls. Lord, we thank you for those. So, Lord, I pray that we would use this time in the way you want us to. Lord, that we would learn contentment, as Paul speaks of. We would count it all joy when there's suffering. Lord, we would walk forward and honor you with our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus because you guard us. So do your work even now, Lord, as we open your word and study it together yet not together. As we're scattered, Lord, do what you want to do. Calm children right now who may be anxious and running about in living rooms. Lord, calm our hearts right now as we're scattered in our minds, not used to looking at a screen. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church family, it is continuing to be some crazy stuff going on in our midst, but Jesus is on his throne, and we are so grateful. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. There looks like there's someone at the door too, ladies. John chapter 10. This past week, my family was watching Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls has a show called Man vs. Wild. There's another show right now called You vs. Wild, where it's basically Bear Grylls and his adventures and what he does, but you get to choose what you want him to do at different sections. He's like, you do this or you do that, and you get to choose on your remote. So as we watched this episode, Bear Grylls jumps out of a helicopter into a cold lake. He gets out of the lake, and he basically is shivering. He's cold and says, you know, how can I get warm? And so he tries to, like, heat up his body through exercise. And then as he's doing that, he realizes, well, this isn't really working. And so then he sees a sheep, which I was kind of surprised, like, what in the world's going on? So he sees a sheep, and he looks at the camera and says, you know, a sheep's body temperature is hotter, is higher than a human's body temperature. So if I get the sheep and I, like, snuggle with it, it will help raise my body temperature. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be really good. This is going to be hilarious. So he tells the audience, you either choose that he lures the sheep in or he chases the sheep. And so my family is, like, dying laughing at that point. And we ask him to chase the sheep. So he goes chasing the sheep around and gets the sheep and kind of snuggles with the sheep to warm himself up, which I found hilarious. Wandering sheep aren't just found in Bear Grylls' show. We find wandering sheep as kind of a theme throughout the Old Testament, as the Old Testament people, the Israelites, are scattered and wandering, and God sets up priests, God sets up leaders to gather them together. In Ezekiel 34, God basically reproves and rebukes the shepherds, the leaders, the religious leaders, because they're not doing the job they're supposed to be doing. They're letting people wander, letting broken legs not heal. They're letting them scatter. They're not feeding the sheep, the people of Israel. And so in Ezekiel 34, God says to those shepherds, I myself will be their shepherd. And then in John 10, which we looked at last week, Jesus makes this bold statement, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the one true shepherd king over Israel and over the nations. But though Jesus is clear, as we will see in John chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 22 today, continuing our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John. In verse 22, through the rest of the chapter, we're going to study, and it's in. I'm going to be reading through the English Standard Version of the Bible, but this is God's Word. John 10, starting at verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Let's pray. Father, this is your word, and so as we are scattered, Lord, we are unified in your word. We're unified in the one flock and the one shepherd. So do what you desire through the teaching of your word. Spirit, we need you. Lord, guard my mouth from error. Be with those in their homes who are live streaming, and let this please you. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I want to look at today is this, the tight-gripped shepherd, the tight-gripped shepherd. Our passage begins in the winter months at the Feast of Dedication. This feast is known to us as Hanukkah. It's the time where there was Judas Maccabees led a revolt against Antiochus Epiphanes, who had defiled the temple. This is basically a celebration for the Jewish people from 165 BC of basically rededicating the temple. So year after year, they would celebrate this Feast of Dedication, or this feast, or the Hanukkah celebration. And though the Jewish leaders, once again, as we've seen in the Gospel of John, are supposed to be celebrating, even leading in the celebration, they are not. They are accusing. The tension continues to mount. In verse 19 through 21, there's a dispute about whether Jesus is demon-possessed. And in verse 22, we find Jesus approached again, and we will notice that Jesus responds with his works. He talks a lot about his works, and it kind of feels like Jesus is playing that game you play with your kids where you're trying to explain like an occupation, and you give different details of the occupation, and then the kid kind of guesses, well, that's what you are. Let me give you an example. Like, say I'm talking to my kids, and we're playing this game when they're little, and hey, I wear a suit, I carry a briefcase, I talk to judges and juries at trials. And kid raises their hand and says, you're a lawyer. Okay, let's play again. I work in a classroom, I write on a chalkboard, I'm with children who are called students most of the day. Oh, you're a teacher, good. Now, last time, I heal a blind man. I fulfill the Old Testament scriptures. I do everything that the Father tells me to do. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah, God the Son. Jesus' works are to point people to him as the Messiah. Verse 25, you can look at it. The works bear witness. Verse 32, I've shown you many good works from the Father. Verse 37, I am doing the works of my Father. Verse 38, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Jesus cares about the works. He proclaims the works because he's on the mission of the Father. His life, his words, his miracles, his timing, this is all the works of the Father to fulfill the overflow of the Father's plan, that plan to rescue sheep. These guys confront Jesus, but Jesus plainly tells them that they don't believe him. Why? Because they're not his sheep. The reason they don't believe is because they're not his sheep. Jesus' sheep know his voice. Jesus' sheep follow him. Sheep know the shepherd and are known by the shepherd. And let's just note a characteristic of Jesus, the good shepherd. He has an iron grip, tight, clenched. He's the shepherd. Look at verse 28. This is a significant passage. It says this, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus saves, but Jesus keeps. Jesus saves and Jesus keeps. There is a security for the believer, not only that they are loved, but they are kept. Not only are they fed, they are secure. Not only are they adopted, they are protected. Do you, friend, realize that? Do you know that sheep are kept? Last week we looked at some characteristics of sheep. Sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. Sheep follow the shepherd. And sheep flee from strangers. Here's kind of a fourth characteristic to add to your list. Sheep are kept. Sheep are kept. But friends, we are not only kept by Jesus. Like, that's good enough. If I'm just kept by Jesus, that's fantastic. That's great. Good news. But verse 29 gets even better. Here's what Jesus says. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Oh my goodness. So friends, what hope. He's got us. We are secure. We don't only have Jesus holding us, but wrapped around Jesus' hand is the Father's hand. If you think you can earn your salvation today, if you think you can lose your salvation, Scripture would disagree. Salvation didn't originate with you. It does not last because of you. The Father and the Son keep. J.C. Ryle in the mid-1800s put it this way. Christ declares that his people will never perish. Weak as they are, they will all be saved. Not one of them shall be lost and cast away. Not one of them shall miss heaven. If they err, they shall be brought back. If they fall, they shall be raised. The enemies of their soul may be strong and mighty, but their Savior is mightier. And none shall pluck them out of their Savior's hand. None shall pluck them out of their Savior's hand. Friends, memorize verse 28 and 29. Meditate on verse 28 and 29. Write it on your mirror in your bathroom, verse 28 and 29. Just, no one will snatch you out of Christ's hand. No one will snatch you out of the Father's hands. And because the implications of this short passage are huge, just imagine hypothetically that a massive virus spread throughout the world and people were fearing for their lives. They were tempted. They were shaken. Life as they knew it changed. Jobs, social gatherings, eating out, everything changed. The stock market plummeted. Can you just imagine that? How would knowing this verse, these truths, change you? How would knowing that Christ's hand is securing you, that you are in it and it's wrapped by a bigger hand, the one over all, the Father, how would that help knowing the grip of Christ and the hand of the Father? Imagine, yes, hypothetically again, that you're running out of food, worried that grocery stores will not have the needs that you have. How would knowing this shepherd and that he keeps you and he has you and he loves you, how would that be helpful, friend? It's massively helpful. These truths are massively helpful of the good shepherd in this moment. Imagine you get coronavirus, which just the way the stats are, probably some of us in our church family will by the end of this. Your health is fading. You feel like a leper. You're shielded from society. Your faith wavers from belief to unbelief, belief to unbelief, belief to unbelief. How helpful will it be to know you are kept secure in the hands of Christ and of the Father? Your eternity is secure. Your life is secure in Christ. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hands. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Jesus truly does have power. After he resurrects in Matthew chapter 28, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. He's not just a Jewish guy who lived 2,000 years ago. He makes a startling claim. We'll see that as we continue this passage. He makes this claim, I'm God. Second point today is this, the divine shepherd. The divine shepherd, starting at verse 30. I and the Father are one, Jesus says. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for good works that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Get this. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. you being a man, make yourself God. Now, back at verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Now our American ears may not pick up to some of the original things the Jewish ears would hear. Every morning, the Jews, good Jewish boys and girls and families, would repeat Deuteronomy 6, where it's the phrase, they called it the Shema. Hear, listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And then it talks about, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. But hear, O Israel, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. And here Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are Yahweh. You see, these guys get it. They get the implications of what Jesus is saying. They're not mad at him just for teaching. They're mad at him for the claim he is making. They pick up rocks to kill him. They say, it's not for good works that we're going to stone you. It's not for healing the blind guy. It's not for healing the lame guy. That's for blasphemy, because they say, being a man, you make yourself God. Jesus, you're claiming to be God. And let's note, if Jesus is not God and is claiming to be God, he's crazy. C.S. Lewis called him a lunatic. Jesus is a lunatic if he claims to be God and yet is not God. But if he claims to be God and he is God, everything changes. He's the divine shepherd. And that's what we see as we go through the Gospel of John. If you haven't read the Gospel of John, just keep going. Don't stop with where I'm going to stop today. Just keep reading chapter 11 and 12 and just keep going, because what we find is that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, the fully God and fully man good shepherd. So verse 34, Jesus then says this, and it's kind of an obscure passage to us a little bit. It says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say to him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I say I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Verse 39, again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Jesus responds to these guys holding these stones, wanting to kill him. He responds with Psalm 82, verse 6, where Asaph, the psalmist, calls human judges lowercase gods, lowercase g gods. He's calling the human judges, because they represent God, lowercase g gods. And Jesus is saying, if human judges are called lowercase g gods and scripture can't be usurped, how much more should the true Son of God be called God? Jesus is God the Son. You see, in the last several chapters of the Gospel of John, Jesus has been saying this over and over and over again. He's equating himself to Yahweh, the I am. So he makes I am statement, I am statement, I am statement over and over and over. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, before Abraham existed, I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of salvation. Jesus is not like Superman doing this Clark Kent thing, trying to keep his identity hidden. No, Jesus is claiming, I am Yahweh, I am God. And that changes everything. Once again, in this gospel account, we find some react poorly to Jesus' claim, his divinity, his godness. And some respond correctly. Look at verse 40. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first. And there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man, talking about Jesus, was true. And many believed in him there. Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Friends, people in this moment of John chapter 10, 40, 41, came through the door, the way of Jesus. They came to the Good Shepherd, Jesus. They heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. They came and are then secure in the grip of the Good Shepherd. So my question for you, live streamer, one watching this, is are you secure? Are you secure in the arms of the Good Shepherd? Do you know Jesus, who is fully God and fully man? Have you turned from your sins and trusted Jesus as your Savior? For earlier in John chapter 10, Jesus said he will lay down his life for his sheep. He will fulfill all the plans of the Father. You see, God the Father fulfilled his promise to his people by becoming the Son, becoming man, and establishing his kingdom on earth. He died on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice, what we call an atonement for their sin, by raising from the dead, by conquering sin and death and the devil. And by ascending to the right hand of the Father to rule over the nations of man. And so Jesus right now invites us to turn from our sin, trust him as Savior, and have the hope of living in his kingdom, living with his hope, living with his peace, joining him because we need him. In 200 AD, Clement of Alexandria said this, in our sickness, we need a Savior. In our wanderings, a guide. In our blindness, someone to show us the light. In our thirst, the fountain of living water that quenches forever the thirst of those who drink from it. We dead people need life. We sheep need a shepherd. We children need a teacher. The whole world needs Jesus. Friends, the whole world is aware of the pandemic right now. The whole world needs Jesus. Not just because of a major disease, but always. For he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the Good Shepherd. We are sheep. So where we are uncertain today, where we're startled and scared today, we have a Good Shepherd who calls us and beckons us to himself. So live streaming church family, here's how I want us to end today as we are going to wrap up and end the live stream in just a few moments. I want you, as we transition, as we turn off this live stream, as it ends, I want you to share with those who are with you, or if you're not with someone, maybe text message with them, share with them how you need to trust the Good Shepherd right now. How you need to trust Jesus right now. How does knowing that you are not snatched out of his hand, that you are secure, that he protects, that he cares, how in this cultural moment is that helpful? How are you rattled that you need to go from unbelief to belief? Share with your kids, share with your spouse. Take time to pray together and point each other toward the Good Shepherd. And if you don't have a relationship with the Good Shepherd, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we would love to tell you more about how to turn from your sins and trust Jesus, what it means to live in the kingdom of God. You're streaming this, so you can go to risenhope.church, click the top right corner that says contact us, and you can write a little message to us. We will be in contact with you this week. We would love to do that. So we're going to close now. I'm going to pray for us, but let me encourage you to spend a moment right now, in the next 5 minutes or so, just talking with those around you about how you are to trust the Good Shepherd during this cultural moment. Let's pray. Father, you are the Good Shepherd. You care for the sheep. No one will be snatched out of your hand. No one will be snatched out of the Father's hand. And so, Lord, in this moment, let us trust you. Let us walk forward as a church family to truly treasure you, to truly apply the gospel to our lives and relationships, to truly proclaim your gospel and the hope of the world to our neighbors and to the nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye, church family. Love you, and see you on live stream next week or on a Zoom call later this week.